Straight Talk from Israel.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
Good morning, good morning. Looking out my window, because it's my job. Good, glorious morning. My name is Andrea Simonchov, and you are listening to Pull Up a Chair on Israel News Talk Radio. Before we get started, let's first say good morning. I have our romper room moment. If you don't know what I mean, look it up. I want to say good morning. It's late at night for those listening in from the United States and Canada. Boker Tov, Eretz Israel. Mexico is with us this morning. Norway. Oh, we have listeners in today from India. Very nice. Australia's listening in. Peru. South Africa. I'll see you this afternoon, South Africa, on that other station. Iran. Hey, Iran, this is like the second week in a row. Nice to have you with us. Jamaica, Nigeria's listening in this morning, and Scotland. So happy, so grateful, truly grateful to have you on board. By the way, just finished a novel that took place, half of it in Jamaica. It was fascinating. Write to me at Andrea@IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com, and I'll tell you just what that novel was. Huh. Okay, so today's show is mostly about enough. You know, when we're young, we dream of slaying dragons. We want to foster great change. And yet, too often, a complacency takes over our adult lives. You know, who am I? How can I foster change? What opportunities have I missed as life wanes? This kind of malaise of ineffectuality takes over. But as we look at the reviews, we review what's gone on in Israel in the last 7 days, 7 months, 7 years, no, 70 years. We see every day, don't expect miracles, expect excitement, expect dissension, and expect that what you thought was firmly the narrative of the day that's about to unfold, it will change on a dime. So again, today is about enough, and what is our role? What can we do to change? What do we have to accept? We'll talk about Torah, we'll talk about politics, we'll talk about my kids, and much, much more. My name is Andrea Simonchov. Guess what? I'll see you on the other side.
How did a nice Jewish girl from Delaware end up living in Israel?
Shalom, I'm Natalie Sapinski. Join me on my show, Returning Home. Meet different people who have moved to Israel. Hear their personal stories, their highs, their lows, and everything in between. Each week, we talk to experts on immigration and the process of moving to Israel. Listen to Returning Home every Thursday, only on Israel News Talk Radio.
We're back. Andrea Simonchov, IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com. You're listening to Pull Up a Chair. As I said at the beginning of the program, even though I'm calling this show the morning after, because how do you do a show from Israel, a show certainly on Israel News Talk Radio, and not mention the elections, but I may choose not to. But it's more of when is enough enough? And I see, you know, after this year of COVID, after this time of running around and sort of being forced into our shells, and we're crawling out. And many people, many of the brightest people, the most deliberate people, the most passionate people I know or have entered my orbit, have taken a step back after this year. And instead of slaying dragons or running to reach the top of Everest, but not really knowing what's on the other side, suddenly are expressing the greatest pleasures, the deepest gratitude for a walk to the local park and back, an afternoon on the beach, sitting around reading a book to a grandchild, things that we may have indeed taken for granted. And again, even though it is the morning after, and in many ways, Israel is facing a great difference on the political scene today, what remains the same, what remains holy and the same, are those things that bring us deep pleasure, deep appreciation, deep gratitude, great sipuk, as we say, here in this corner of the world. You know, I met with a client this week who's revamping her life. She's a single woman, never married, in her early 60s, and she was an administrator, very accomplished, speaks four languages fluently, really was at the forefront of outreach programs here in Israel. And after 30 years, she was burned out. She was tired. And she could have taken her retirement, and she could have become a stereotype. She's in some ways a cat lady. Okay, don't yell at me. Don't send me notes, all you cat ladies, okay? But anyway, what do I hear? She's becoming a nutritionist. She's going back to school. It's the morning after, and she is grabbing life. And I thought, I have a teacher in my midst. And another teacher in my midst was a client who's well into her 80s. And she came to me, and she was on her way to Netanya to stay in her children's vacant apartment. And it's a headache. She has to pack up. And her husband, you know, drives like molasses. It's really bad. And I said, well, don't you love going to Netanya? Love being on the beach? And she said, well, I really don't like it at all. And then she finished and she said, but you know what? If you're invited, you go. I like that. A teacher. And on this morning after, another client who is indeed a full-time school teacher working with children with mental and physical challenges. What does she do in her spare time? You know, she doesn't get her nails done. I can tell you that much. She conducts an a cappella choir for personal pleasure. She cooks. She bakes Shabbos goodies for sale out of her home for supplementary income and for passion. Is enough ever enough? What is the enough we set for ourselves? I look at my table this morning. I did all of my Sabbath cooking. I'm doing it all today. You know, I'm really a last minute person. Any of you who have met me or can hear the craze in my voice know that, you know, it's bad. Last minute, push the envelope. Do I have 3 more minutes? Let me make some sushi. But we're going away tomorrow. We're spending the day with relatives who are leaving the country. And I have to make Shabbos today. And like so many other women who are listening to the show and scratching their head and saying, well, doesn't everybody prepare their Sabbath on Thursday and have their table set on Thursday night? Let me help you with that. No, but I'm looking at my beautiful table laden with the fruits and vegetables of Israel and with grains and beans and canned goods that we can afford. And I'm thinking, it's enough. I'm excited, waiting for the embracing of the Sabbath. You know, I worked with another client, and it was exciting. Very accomplished woman who came to me early on in my coaching business to say to me, you know, I feel that I should be doing more. She didn't say slaying dragons and conquering the world and curing, you know, AIDS and finding the ticket to COVID. But always when we're looking out from our Dalet Amos, our four walls, we very often think that the rest of the world are getting more nachas from their children, more pleasure from their spouses, more compassion, more validation. And the fact is, everybody's so busy looking outward that we often forget to look inward. And suddenly she grasped onto the concept of celebrating the enough in her life. And she altered my life when she told me that after 40 years of marriage, when her husband eats dinner, there's always this point in the meal where he puts down his cutlery for a moment and utters the sound, mmm, this mmm is music to her ears. it is music to a marriage. So it behooves all of us, and I know that I'm on it. What is the enough in my life today to list our enoughs? I like it very much. Okay, as we're moving along, I'm looking at my notes. Oh, yeah. You know, so somebody also sent me this. I loved it. Someone sent it to me because people do write to me at Andrea@IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com. That was a little PSA. So someone sent to me, it was an anonymous. If you know the source of this quote, let me know. But I loved it. Quote, be expectant. Constantly expect better things. Believe that what God has in store for you is better than anything you ever had before. The way to grow old happily is to expect better things right up to the end of your life and even beyond that. A good life is growing, expanding life with ever widening horizons, an ever greater circle of friends and acquaintances, and an ever greater opportunity for usefulness. I don't know about you. I can sign on to that one. Okay, so since you're all sitting around with bated breath, let me give you a little thought about the post-elections. So this comes from really Rabbi Shlomo Aviner, who is really, he's the embodiment of religious Zionism for many. So he sent out a tweet. You know how I feel about tweets. Yeah. But anyway, so Rabbi Aviner said, what is there to say about the new government? To be happy with what there is, not to cry about what there isn't, and to work to complete what there isn't. And what is there? Thank God, there is a state. There is an army. There is a government. There is an economy. There is a Torah. And there is the resurrection of a nation. We will continue to build and to be built with God's kindness upon us. Remember the operative pronoun, with God's kindness upon us. And for any of you who want to learn more about Rabbi Aviner, he's the Rosh Yeshiva of the Ateret Yerushalayim Yeshiva, and he's the chief rabbi of Beit El, where I spend much of my time. So also came across some of the thoughts. People were asking what was the mood in Israel, and I've kind of put a conglomeration. You know, for those of you who live overseas, Israel is divided again. We're always kind of divided. And, you know, we have a new government. Is it a legal government? I don't really think so. I think it's a government that's built on lies. I think that our system is extremely flawed. I do believe the system will change, must change. It's not for me to say that we can't go on like this, but it's extremely wearying, and we're a very nervous people to begin with. Nevertheless, right now, again, we can point fingers at ourselves, those of us who are in the nationalist camp, and say, did we use our opportunities? Did we celebrate our opportunities? I pray for the success of everyone. I want Israel to soar. I want the officers of our nation, those who are in charge, those who are making the decisions, those who want to ensure that my grandchildren sleep well at night, and that our soldiers remain safe, protected, and come home to their mommies. I wish them failure? Oh no, au contraire, mon frère. We wish them success. For those of us in another camp, we'll continue to fight for our values, our beliefs, our deep love for the Israel of our fathers and our forefathers. And you'll hear from us in the next election. But you know what? Until that time, we have to do our hishtadlus, invest our energies. We're not America. We don't riot and burn and scream and shout epithets against an election that we do not like the outcome of. We walk in God's path. We know who's in charge. And we want everyone to succeed. That's the beauty of Israel. It's all Israel. It's our Israel, whether you are white, Black, observant or not, struggling or successful, Israel is the home to every Jew, even those we don't necessarily agree with. My name is Andrea Simintov. Guess what? I'll see you on the other side.
Shalom, everybody. Making a difference often takes just one moment and one person at a time. I am Orly Benny Davis, your show host on Israel News Talk Radios from Jerusalem with love. You'll be hearing people talking about politics, religion, social issues, and making a better tomorrow. Join me, Orly Benny Davis, for God and Country from Jerusalem with love.
Wednesdays on Israel News Talk Radio.
And we're back. Andrea Simintov, pull up a chair on IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com. Okay, we are back. We're together. By the way, the chat room is open. If you're listening in and you're listening in via our website, just drop me a note. Tell me where you're listening in from. It would be very nice to, you know, you don't have to talk to me. You don't have to interact. Okay, so I want to just, before I forget, I do want to say in this section, before we start, I received, I can't even express this news, but since we're all very close, got news that one of my daughters who has always been planning on making Aliyah and coming back to Israel, not so easy, and she is on a flight scheduled to arrive at the end of July, and I'm just shaking. My opportunity, again, conquering the world, climbing Everest. My enough is the enough of getting to be a bubby grandma, the grandma who can babysit, the grandma who can cook and make oatmeal and kiss bruised knees and give my children a night off. That's something that was not really on my plate. And now I get to do that. And I understand the mazal involved in this is people who don't have children, parents, people who don't have grandchildren, people who are estranged from those whom they love. There's gratitude in every second and every moment. But what I do want to say, notice that I'm deliberately not saying where she's making Aliyah from. You'll have to listen to the last 3 years of programs to get it, get started now. But I just wanted, I came across a lovely quote, and this is to celebrate my daughter, and all of those who are in touch with the Jewish Agency and Nefesh B'Nefesh and Telfed and any other monitoring agency that helps Jews come home to the only home we have. And this is what was sent to me. Moving from country to country is the easy part. Anybody can pack up a kitchen or a closet, but it takes guts and courage to walk away from one life, to say goodbye to everything you know, to leave the comfort of the familiar and loved, to begin a new life from scratch. That's when the fearless and the brave stand up. I said to my friend Leo last night, who, you know, I don't mince words when it comes to Aliyah. I don't mince words. I think you come to Israel and you can be successful. I think you can come to Israel and be monetarily, materially, extremely unsuccessful. I think the success is the getting up and coming to Israel. And I find myself, you know, having to suppress the, what's the word? The vitriol, the anger when I hear of people expanding on their homes and making new wallpaper and more deeply embedding themselves into countries that on their best day are host countries. And I'm going to repeat something that I have said again and again, ad nauseum. So take a Dramamine and listen. Diaspora, living in Galut, is the physical representation of our being vomited out of our land. It is not a mila. It is not a good thing. It is not an alternative life. It is the evidence that we were not worthy of living in our country. To be living in Galut is to be living under minimally a film of shame. That's how strongly I feel about it. I used to get notes saying, well, you know, Israel isn't for everyone. And I used to have to say, well, maybe I need to review my thinking. Yeah, no. It's for everyone. And this little country, the size of, I think they said Jersey, the size of a postage stamp, you will find your peeps. You will find your community. You will find with whom to stand and protest and raise your fist and be angry and raise one government and knock down another. The only reason we're in France or in Detroit or in Toronto or in Buenos Aires is because someone in our family fled a pogrom, a massacre, and went to save the lives, their lives and those they love. But it was meant to be a pit stop on the way home. Okay, made my point. Stick a dish. Okay, moving from one country to country. Oh, yeah. Very beautifully articulated. This came out from Rabbi Danny Schiff. I like to see where I get the sources of some of my material, because sometimes, you know, sometimes I'm definitely preaching to a choir. I get a lot of my stuff from observant Jews like me. But even that can grow tedious. And one thing I really, really love. So this comes from, I started to mutter his name, pretend you didn't hear it. This is from a reform rabbi who lives here in Israel. So today he writes that today, so understand with a grain of salt, this government is probably more to his liking than say mine. But what he says about the apartheid state of Israel really hammers it home. Okay, he gets a home run on this one. Okay, DS, you got it. Today, in the so-called apartheid state of Israel, a new democratically elected government, well, let's give a sick on that one, and a new prime minister will be sworn in. This came in on whatever the day was, I guess Sunday or Monday. Such a phenomenon is impossible in Egypt, Syria, Lebanon, Jordan, Saudi Arabia, the Palestinian territories and the UAE, etc. Today, in the so-called apartheid state of Israel, for the first time ever, a fully independent Arab party will join the governing coalition. This is a quote. This is not my words, people. I know we all have something to say about that, but I digress. That Arab party is conservative, overtly Islamic, and yet is accepted into this new coalition by seven other majority Jewish parties from across the political spectrum. Today in the so-called apartheid state of Israel Isawi Frage, an Arab Menkai from Meretz, will become the regional cooperation minister. That's right. The Jewish state's regional cooperation endeavors will be proudly led, I suppose, that's Andrea, by an Arab Israeli. Today in the so-called apartheid state of Israel, the incoming government's coalition agreement will come into force. It stipulates 52 billion shekels of spending in the Arab sector over the next several years. That's more than triple the size of any previous government in Israel's Arab communities. I digress. The information is for me very painful. But we need to look at ourselves. When we point fingers, we have three fingers still pointing back at ourselves. But here is where my friend nails it. Not so much what I just read to you, but here comes baby. He says, let's get real. The only reason why most Arab countries are not designated as apartheid states is because they got rid of every last Jew from their midst a long time ago. It's hard to oppress or mistreat a minority that no longer exists. And the only reason that Israel is designated by the deluded as an apartheid state is because of vitriolic, anti-Semitic lies. Yep. It's that simple. Okay, so I didn't like the beginning, but I do indeed like the end. All right, so let's see. Before we go, I'm really having fun today. It's like a sort of sharing my heart. What I want to share with you today. All right, so in the last minutes before we go to our Dvar Torah section, came across this very nice idea as we enter into talking about Parsha Chukat in our next session. Rabbi Zelig Pliskin, who I mention quite often in his work Growth Through Torah, he looks at the mitzvah of the Para Aduma, the red calf, and he sees a Jewish concept of the Ahavta L'Reacha Kamocha, treating one another, loving our fellow man, for lack of a better translation, as we love ourselves. He cites the commentary of Rabbi Mendel of Vorki, who says that the priest that was involved in the purification became impure himself by the same process that purified the person who came to him. When someone loses out in order to help someone else, that is the ultimate love for a fellow man. As Rabbi Pliskin goes on, he says, a person who, and a person who isn't willing to make sacrifices for other people is always going to find reasons that it's too difficult for him to do acts of kindness for others. To help other people, it takes time. It takes energy. Frequently it takes money. But when someone truly loves another person, he feels pleasure in all of the sacrifices he makes for him. The greater your love for someone, the more sacrifices you're willing to make. That is the test of the level of love for a fellow man, is the amount of sacrifices we're willing to make. More so, I would imagine, to a stranger. A person who's not willing to make any sacrifices shows that he lacks love for others. I like this very much. Because as we enter the next section of the show to talk about what is not only the definition of law, but what is the role of law, especially when we, who are created in his image, don't get it, don't like it, don't choose it. My name is Andrea Simonto, very excited. I'll see you on the other side.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
This is Shai Bentekoen. Each week I'll be webcasting to you from Judea, origin of the word Jew, a people besieged and beleaguered in every generation. Nazi Germany is but a memory, but in its place the world invented the phantom Palestinians as this generation's internationally authorized Jew killers. Tune in for a different slant on life in Israel, Phantom Nation, every Monday.
Hi, I'm Rabbi David Aaron. The soul basics are the most profound, the most essential, and yet often the most neglected in our education. Join me for Soul Talk on Israel's News Talk Radio and discover the secrets to love, spiritual growth, and personal power.
Simintov, pull up a chair, IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com. If you hear the humor in my voice, I don't sit and do my nails during the break. I know, contrary to popular opinion. We chat. I chat with the engineers. It's a lot of fun. And let me see, is anybody in our chat room today has anything to say to us? William Bush is very, former President Bush seems to be very busy here on my show. Okay. Thank you. Thank you, William Bush. Very nice comment. Yeah, I'm going to swing that hammer, baby. You got it. All right. So as we come back, and again, I told you we're talking about this Parsha, which is the Torah portion. I was told by a listener that I don't translate enough. So you always should have your pen and pencil with you. This is like a Hebrew Ulpan, a Hebrew class, when you listen to me. I get passionate, I get crazy, and I no longer speak English. For those of you listening in from Renana, you know what I'm talking about. We have a new language. It's called Hebrish. Okay, it's half and half. And when I went to America, I realized how much Hebrish I speak. I couldn't come up with the English terminology for certain words, although I did believe in my heart of hearts that I was speaking English. So no, I was speaking Hebrish. So again, that deepens your respect for me saying, oh, she's so multilingual. Okay, here we go. Always nice to finish one section with Rabbi Pliskin and get bathed in that warmth and that growth and grow together. Okay, so this week's parsha portion of the Torah is called Parsha Chukat. And Chukat emphasizes to us the intimate and indeed unusual nature of our relationship to our God in heaven. Our God, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, his name, he's not human in any form or understandable manner. I was always fascinated. You know, I would sometimes see, I don't know how it came across, I would watch Saturday morning television as a child, and it would have like a God on a throne with a long white beard. You know, sometimes it takes 65 plus years to unsee those things. A lot of things we need to unsee in our lives. So God is not human in any form or understandable manner. God, according to our Jewish understanding, remains beyond our reach, beyond any kind of human logic. This is emphasized to us in the commandment that appears at the beginning of this parsha concerning the para adama, the red cow, and the accompanying details and the requirements. The rabbis have warned us, they keep telling us, that this is the ultimate chok, the law of God that is beyond all human comprehension. I have to digress from my notes a moment. I remember once hearing a comedian on television. I don't know why this comedian was sitting with the host of the show and expounding on Jewish law. And the only thing was because he was identifiably Jewish. So suddenly he's a big spokesperson. And he was explaining to the non-Jewish host what kosher was really about, why you really can eat. And if you're listening in at this moment, I am not endorsing it. Well, you can eat shrimp and pork and milk and meat and all that stuff. And he was saying how the laws of the Torah were outdated, because at that time you could get botulism, it wasn't clean, it wasn't da-da-da, but it makes no sense today. And I was shaking my head. I was very limited in my ability to express another view, but now I need to share with you that the chok of kashrut, the law of keeping kosher, has nothing to do with rationale or this comedian's idea or why this is kosher and that is not kosher. The fact is, God said it, I observe it, that settles it. There are some laws we observe, dafka, deliberately, to build our ability to defer gratification, to show obedience to a higher power, to remind ourselves that, surprise, surprise, we are not God. The chok, the law of Torah, is the ultimate just do it area of Jewish life. And although any human reasoning will not fathom a commandment of the red calf, Andrea can't get it. There has to be an appreciation of an insight to why there should be such an unfathomable, inexplicable, perhaps confusing law. I don't know how many of you remember, I think it was a Woody Allen quote that he said, you know, any club that would have me as a member, I wouldn't want to join. What did he say? Well, in a much more exalted fashion, according to Rabbi Beryl Wine, he says, Judaism states that any God who is completely understandable to me, a human being with all of my limitations inherent in so being, cannot really be my God. Oh, just got a great note. Engineer informed me it was Groucho Marx. Wouldn't want to belong to any quote, any club that would have me as a member. You know, it demeans the Jewish concept of a creator in heaven in such a complex universe to state that this creator has to be on my level, has to be understandable to me. The commandment of the red cow drives that point home to all of us who study Torah. If any human being was entitled to enter the land of Israel and to realize one's life ambition, well, who would have gotten that prize except for Moshe Rabbeinu, our teacher Moses? And yet we see again in this week's Parsha that this goal is denied to him. All of the commentators in the Torah attempt to deal with this problem of why. To our human logic, this punishment does not really fit the crime. His exclusion from entering the land of Israel, it's been debated over millennia in the works of rabbinic scholarship. Everywhere it's discussed. But all of the explanations, all the reasons, all the theories, the why still looms. It's the second great chok, an event in decree that's beyond our understanding. We bow our heads in acceptance of heaven's decrees in personal life, in national life. Hello, hello. Listen to segment two again. The great Rabbi Menachem Mendel Feuerstein of Kotsk very tersely summed up the matter and said, for the believer, there are no questions. For the skeptic, there are no answers. Sooner or later in life, we're going to be blindsided by events that we have absolutely no control over. And even the wisest among us, the most brilliant among us, we spend a lot of time wondering about the how, the why. It's because we're limited. In all our glory, we are merely human. And we have to deal with our creator and his ways. And that in and of itself is a powerful and practical lesson of this week's Torah reading. So just to humanize it a tad, you know, we find ourselves in the desert in great, great difficulty and taking a look at Miriam the prophetess. Her miraculous well, it sustained us through the long sojourn in Sinai. Now she's not alive. They complain to Moshe, we have no water. People can go for days without solid food, but not with water, especially in the desert. What does Moshe do? He strikes a rock. He doesn't speak to it. There are going to be terrible consequences for Moshe for this, but apparently the people are not subject to the punishment of Moshe. In fact, the people break into song and poetry over this new well of water. Moshe's in trouble and they're dancing. I loved learning this. You know, they were severely punished for when they requested meat. It seems that requesting and demanding water is a necessity for life, and that is permissible. But when they demanded meat, which is considered a luxury food, this was inappropriate. There's a great lesson for all of us in this. Demanding and even praying for more than we really need and are entitled to carry with it the seeds of subsequent problems and even disaster. Rabbi Moshe Feinstein, in his Sefer, Darash Moshe, he notes this incredible paradox that's inherent in this week's discussion of the red calf. The red calf, you know, we talked before about sacrifice and giving, that to purify the unclean, but to also defile those who are clean. He applies, remember we said that those that creating the, to help purify someone, the priest himself had to get dirty. He applies that this rule in the spiritual sense applies to every character trait. For example, we have to be humble where our own interests are concerned, but we must zealously defend our neighbor's honor. In doing so, we serve God with the two opposites, with humility, by being oblivious to our own honor, and with pride, by vigilantly guarding our neighbor's honor and dignity. My friends, you know, we pray for health, We pray for prosperity. We pray to be able to serve God with more sincerity and more effectively. There's a lot of stuff. We throw up our arms. We have to do our hishtadlus, endeavor to make the changes within our own ability, but to the utmost, to our utmost ability. And remember, if we pray for each other, it's a home run. But if it's only for ourselves, we're going to miss the mark. Shabbat Shalom u'mivorach from Jerusalem.
Israel News Talk Radio's chat room. Just click the orange button at the top of the IsraelNewsTalkRadio.home page, log in as yourself or an anonymous guest, and join in on the fun. You'll meet other listeners from all over the world who listen to Israel News Talk Radio, and you can make new friends. Israel News Talk Radio's chat room. It's the closest you can get to being in the studio with us.
We love listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
Where can you get the inside news on Israel? At Israel News Talk Radio, we're dedicated to sharing Israel's inside story with the world by providing our listeners with news on Israeli politics, current affairs, and Israeli Jewish culture. The Israel News Talk Radio homepage also provides you, the listener, with useful information at your fingertips, with scrolling news headlines, weather, currency exchange, Shabbat candlelighting times, and so much more. Our radio programming is always accessible and on demand. We operate absolutely free of charge for everyone, everywhere. If you love what we do, partner with us now by becoming an Israel News Talk Radio supporter. With your support, you'll be inscribed on our Israel News Talk Radio Wall of Fame. There's nothing like us in the world. Be part of something great. Israel News Talk Radio, straight talk from Israel.
If you love Israel News Talk Radio, then you'll love our Facebook page. We keep you up to date on what's happening in Israel, plus little surprise treasures that we don't share on the radio. Go now to follow us on Facebook. Just look for the Israel News Talk Radio Facebook page, and don't forget to subscribe and follow us by clicking on the like button. We post great stuff there that you'll want to share. Israel News Talk Radio on Facebook and Israel News Radio on Twitter.
News, opinion, and more. You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.